Good morning or good afternoon or good evening, wherever you may be located. I'm glad that you're all able to attend our AGMD Gastroparesis Telephone Internet Community Support Group. My name is Mary Angela DeGrazia-Dottucci. I'm a longtime patient with multiple digestive motility disorders, including gastroparesis. In 1991, this organization was started, and we are sponsoring this in order to have patients and family members get together in a community environment of understanding and support and information. I have a couple of little guidelines for all of us to follow, and then I will introduce you to Laura, who will be facilitating this program. To begin with, if you would like to say something in the program, please state your first name every time you talk, and that way there we'll be able to identify the voice with the person who's speaking, and that's each time. If you would like to get in touch with anybody who is speaking in this program, please do not ask for their contact information and do not share your contact information on the program as well. If you are interested in communicating with somebody, you can reach out to AGMD via the email or by telephone, and then we in turn will see if we can facilitate that happening. We encourage you to speak during this program. However, we understand some people just like to listen in, and that's okay too. Other things to say, if you have trouble jumping into the program, you can just call out Laura, her name. Laura, say hello before I officially introduce you.
Hi, everyone.
She has a very distinct voice. And or Mary Angela, and we'll be sure to get you into being able to speak. One last thing, that please be respectful of the number of people that we have on the program, so try not to monopolize the conversation. And in addition, lastly, be respectful of others by not using any profanity so that we can all enjoy this program. And with that, Laura, take over.
Hi, everyone. My name's Laura. I am a longtime type 1 diabetic. 16 years ago, I got gastroparesis. I also got Barrett's esophagus as a result of gastroparesis. I live my life, I volunteer with the AGMD, and it is like the one of the most wonderful experience out there. I don't have a lot about myself because there isn't really that much. I'm kind of a, you know, open close. But I do live with gastroparesis. It's pretty severe. I have the neurostimulator. I have a J-tube. I have been through every treatment. And I do currently have a treatment plan that's working, quote, quote. Obviously, it's not gone, but it relieves a lot of my symptoms a lot of the time when they never used to. And that's just been from years and years of working on my symptoms, trying to get rid of them individually. So that's about it for me. I don't have a lot, again, about me, but I did want to start today. I like to start with some kind of a topic, and by all means, no one needs to follow it. If you have something you want to say, ask, anything, please do. It doesn't matter if it goes with my topic. And what I wanted to talk about today a little bit, because I've seen a lot of activity lately, is supplements. And I am no doctor. I am no expert. However, it is a fact that supplements are not regulated by, like, the FDA. And there are incredible side effects that people can get from these, that because they mix with one of your medications. And I've seen, you know, I see a lot of people that, you know, jump on them, and they may help, they may not. But we just, I like to recommend that you absolutely see a doctor before you start a supplement, because the just the fillers, as they call them. You know, there's the medicine and then there's stuff in there to make it a pill. Those fillers can, you know, counteract with some of our medicines and, you know, it could eventually kill you. I mean, not that they will, but it's a, you know, it can happen. And I know a lot of people put a lot of emphasis on supplements, and I totally understand why, but I just, it's a, something that we need to be mindful and careful of, because it could backfire on us. And it is not a, you know, I've seen a thing where it is not, if they are not a cure for gastroparesis. You know, if your gastroparesis goes away, you're either in remission or you were misdiagnosed temporarily. Anyway, because currently there is no cure. There will be, but currently there isn't. And on that, would anybody like to talk about that or something that they have, there would like, came on the call for? Anybody? No. Okay. We have a quiet crowd today. That's okay. So, one of the things that, and I'm sorry, I think it's with supplements, Nature Valley, I believe is the name. They are the only one that is regulated. It's not a, like the FDA, it's not a big government place, but they do regulate and they do have all of their ingredients clearly stated. And again, 90% of it, you won't even know what they are. Neither do I. But, you know, even with those, you have to check with your doctor because, or a pharmacist even. Because drug interactions, I know I was taking vitamin D. Just, that was it. I was prescribed by my doctor. And it interacted with one of my blood pressure medicines and made my blood pressure 195 over 170. They thought I was going to stroke out, and it was due just due to the what was in that vitamin D pill as a filler counteracted with it. And I changed pills, changed the brand name or the maker of the vitamin D. The pharmacy got me a different one, and it was fine. And it's just that, you know, it can be, they can be awesome, just like some of the medications we have for gastroparesis. Some people, they work great. Some, not so much, you know, and it's a, and you have to be very careful with them. As they came out in the government, the FDA did come out a couple of years ago and said that most supplements, for the most part, do nothing to us. Some of the ones that are set up that are doctors prescribe, like vitamin D, vitamin C, B12, things like that, they actually do help. But a lot of supplements really almost do nothing. So it's kind of a check the farm with the pharmacist and your doctor. Just to make sure.
Sarah? Oh, I'm sorry.
Hi there, Melissa.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I was just going to say that, maybe a year or so ago, I went to a holistic practitioner, and, you know, I, like you, I don't rule out the possible benefit of those. That's why I was there. I was hoping there would be something. But she gave me some digestive enzymes to try, and that is something I had heard about in the groups, and I thought that there was a chance this would help. And she started me on what she called the lowest dose possible, and I had a horribly violent reaction to it, and I thought I was going to end up in the emergency room. I'm still not sure what happened. She's not sure what happened. But I know I will never take them again. I suspect that maybe they interacted with my domperidone, but I'm not certain about that. So I agree with you. Caution. Absolute caution.
Yeah, and that's like, yeah. Hi, Anam.
Hi, this is, and the doctor has tried to put me on vitamin D several times, and I break out from any kind of supplement. I just start itching and scratching, so I don't take vitamin D supplements. I tried that several times, and it just made me itch, and I recommend, again, caution, because even with the cholesterol medicines, or like the Dulcolax. I don't know if any of you take Dulcolax, like Miralax, or over-the-counter. I can't take any of that. I had an aunt that was like, your uncle takes Miralax, so you must take it. I'm like, it will kill me. I'm not going to take it.
A side note on that real quick on the vitamin D. After I had my reaction, they switched the maker. What I take now is straight up vitamin D. There's no filler or any other ingredients in it. It's just a little pill, and that might be something, because you're probably allergic or reacting, again, to a lot of the fillers, because the stuff they, you know, put in there to make it a big pill, there's a lot, and, you know, we don't know what it is usually, even if there's a list of ingredients. You know, good luck figuring that out. So, yes, caution big time, because, you know, you can have a reaction. Like Melissa said, they had no idea why and whether it was really reacting to medication or just reacting to her. Because you yourself can be just not a supplement person, you know, good for supplements. Just, it's all about the caution. Does anybody else take any supplements? They'd like to say anything? They work? They didn't work? They helped? They didn't help? Okay, does anybody have any other topic question they'd like to talk about?
Hi, Laura, it's Brittany. I actually just wanted to say something about the supplements too. I was silent for so long because I'm trying to find the website, but there, I read an article and like you said, you think it's Nature Valley, but there is a process that companies can go through to get their products basically verified that it is truly what it says it is in the packaging, because a lot of companies don't, because the vitamins and supplements aren't regulated by the FDA, they can say that it contains, you know, pure vitamin whatever, and it doesn't necessarily contain that. But there is a process that vitamin companies can pay to go through and then be certified that it is what it says it is. I'm trying to look for it right now, but I know I read that there is, that certain vitamin companies actually do take that step to say this is what it is, and it's only what, you know, what it says it is, because technically they could just put whatever they want on the label and not
right.
have to have any recourse from it. So if I find that, I'll call that out too.
Excellent, and thank you. That was a very, you know, that's a very good point. One of the, again, I think it was Nature Valley, the one that I know of. But it's always good to look on them and see, are they certified? Ask your pharmacist, because they're starting, like Brittany just said, different companies can do it, and it's a, you know, multi-billion-dollar business. They're not going to get rid of them. So in order to get people to take them, they will get certified that the ingredients in there are true. And just like Brittany said, when the fillers, it's just like food. When you see natural flavorings at the end of your ingredients, that means that there's a whole bunch of chemicals, they're not telling you what they are, that they put in there to make that food taste the way it tastes. It could be 20 things, but on the ingredients, it's natural flavorings. On a supplement, it's natural, you know, whatever they call it, not flavoring, but natural, you know, enzymes or something. But even though half of it's a filler, you know, and it's just, it's very, read your labels, you know, things like that. And again, supplements can be very helpful. I know that the vitamin D helped me, just one. I was kind of dragging. And when I had my blood test, so you know, you're low in vitamin D. And after a couple of months, not that I ever have a lot of energy, but I was able to get back to myself. And I do know a lot of people have had really good results, just like a medicine. You know, some people it's perfect and works great. Other people, not so much. Again, does anybody here take any supplements? I'm just really curious. You don't really have to talk, just say yes.
No. This is Brittany. I did. I was on when I was – I'm on TPN currently, so I get all my vitamins and nutrients and everything through my IV now. But when I was off of TPN for a while, I took a lot of supplements. I took calcium, magnesium, potassium, vitamin D, and I believe B12 as well. And those actually got me through the time that I wasn't on TPN. So they did do something for me, but I had to take really large doses because I didn't absorb enough of what it was.
Well, that makes sense with your gastroparesis part. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we don't absorb properly because it doesn't get in where it gets absorbed all at once. You know, it kind of puts in there a little bit at a time, which is a huge problem for a lot of patients with gastroparesis because, you know, I found my advantage, a J-tube. Now, I've had the J-tube for 14 years. I pretty much eat everything by my mouth, unless I'm very, very sick and vomiting steady. Then I'll put, like, Ensure or something through it. I won't get rid of it. I've never had problems with it. I get it changed every 4 months, but I don't want to give it up because I can take medication through it. And, just people like, really, you have a whole tube to do that? Well, when you're really nauseous and throwing up and you can't stop, would you rather throw it through there and have it work, the pill actually work, or take it and vomit it up? And that's a huge problem for most gastroparesis patients. A lot of times, you know, when you're taking nausea medicine and things like that, it's because you're nauseous and vomiting. And then they don't get in and they don't work. Or you absorb them, but it absorbs so slowly or so sporadically that it doesn't do its purpose properly. I know it happens a lot of times with people with pain meds. Take their pain meds, and it doesn't help, so they take more because it didn't help. And it's a nasty cycle. I know I used to take a lot of medications when I was just – it was through my mouth just to try to get it to work. And that's not really the way to do it. however, I know we all do that. And, you know, and I don't know how supplements break down at all, but I'm assuming the same way as like a regular pill with their fillers. And it's just a very, you know, it can be a very slow process because it actually gets absorbed, and I'm going to say this wrong, but the junoduodenum, which is so wrong, which is the piece of small intestine that's actually connected to the bottom of your stomach, that is where all nutrients, everything is absorbed into the bloodstream. Our medication has to get through our stomach and out of our stomach to work. And y'all know how long that can take with your stomach.
With me, so, they found out it takes a week to 2 weeks.
Huh?
With me, they found out both ends take a week to 2 weeks to digest liquids and pills and everything. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
A week to 2 weeks. Yeah.
Hi, this is Lori.
Hi, Lori.
Hi, Lori.
I do take, I try to take the L-carnitine. Does anybody else take that or the CoQ10?
Would you mind telling us what those are? Because I have no idea.
My doctor had suggested to take them originally when they said I had the cycle vomit syndrome.
Yeah.
And now they have me also diagnosed with the
gastroparesis.
Thanks. so it's ACETYL, however you want to pronounce that, L-carnitine.
Okay.
And it's 2,000 milligrams a day. I don't take them every day because of the vomiting, but I do try to take them when I can, along with 400 milligrams of CoQ10. But you're not familiar with what they are?
They are
a supplement.
Yeah. And what is their purpose? I mean, I understand. Is it just for vomiting?
No,
vomiting?
It's actually like for your heart and stuff like that.
Okay.
Okay.
But it works on the vomiting, and I totally understand that. So many medications work for things that they're not made for.
I really don't know. I mean, I have to say, I don't think so. But then again, sometimes it, when I take them regularly, I think that they do help. But it's so hard for me to say because I'm still always sick, but yet I don't always take my medicines because I can't. So how am I supposed to give an actual statement?
You are correct. You know, you are correct there. I mean, just like any meds, they work better when they're in your system. You know, they get into your system on a regular basis. So when you're taking your medication, you know, and you can take it for a week straight, say, you know, it actually gets in your bloodstream, in your system, and that's when they really work. You know, if they're going to work, that's where it.
And that's a difficult task.
Thing to do.
Now, these don't have the fillers. It's just gelatin and rice powder that's in their ingredients. But as far as my other vitamins, I would like to take calcium and vitamin D. I'm supposed to. I can't do that and take my other meds. So,
yeah, it's a lot of medication.
As far as me saying, yes, I take supplements, I used to, but I don't anymore. I've given up on that. It's impossible.
It is difficult to manage, whether it be different supplements or meds, just managing them at home, not even talking about interactions or anything, just trying to keep it all straight and what to take when. But I thank you very much for speaking of that.
Yeah.
And it was nice to know that those supplements are out there. Again, I don't know them all, obviously. There's so many that you can get now. They do say that the fish oil ones, I guess you'd call it, and I don't know exactly what they call them officially, does actually is a successful supplement. They have really good research on it, that it really does help your heart, help people, you know, just it just works better, smoother. I don't know the exact results, but it's one of the ones that they say does work. You know, and
Laura,
unfortunately,
is Mary Angel. Are you talking about the omega 3?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes.
Fatty acid.
Thank you. I couldn't remember the name. But you know, again, it's a little bit of research goes a long way for us personally. You know, if you look into even on the web, go to Google, you know, and just ask like vitamin D supplements. And you'll see all the articles, and there'll be one, you know, whether they work, whether they don't, what they say about them. And it's just always a little bit of research. You know, give yourself 5 minutes before you go to CVS and try and find one, you know, at least. And again, always check for interactions.
Can I ask
you one question?
Checks.
Sure.
Can I ask you one question? Not on the supplements, though. You said you're on a pretty good regimen for, you know, feeling better.
Yep.
And you've been on so many. Can I ask that question? What they're doing with you?
Well, it's actually what I'm doing with me.
What you're doing with
you? Well, I do it with my doctor, but most of it's at my suggestion. You know, with gastroparesis, we all basically get you have all the basic symptoms. The nausea, vomiting, constipation, most people have, or diarrhea, but a lot of us get constipation, which also increases the severity of your gastroparesis hugely. For my nausea and vomiting, I have the stimulator and the J-tube. I have a regimen of medication that goes through there. I can't take it all through there. But I take the nausea and things like that through my tube on a regular basis, so they're in my system at low doses, and that helps me to not get sick sometimes. You know, it's already in my system. As far as like constipation goes, that one is huge. When people are constipated, it's really bad. It slows down your stomach, even a regular person, because your stomach is somewhat sympathetic and doesn't want to keep pushing food if it can't go through. I found I had been constipated my whole life, and I didn't realize why. And I found out that as a child, it was because I was a diabetic, so I was always dehydrated. And then as I got older, you know, we have the gastroparesis, we have dehydration, and I finally really got sick of it because I was only going once or twice a month. And I talked to my doctor, and we went through a number of all the prescription laxatives and stuff again, but I made sure I took them for a month because, you know, you can't take it for a week and go, it doesn't work, because it has to get into you. And we finally found, I had found the end of, we were at the end of our laxative type medicines. And I just said to my doctor, I take tramadol for pain, which is synthetic. So it's not a regular, like, opioid or something. But I had seen a commercial on TV for a drug called Movantik, which has been made to counteract the opiate gut slowdown. Because they're actually in all, like your Percocets, your Vicodins, all those, there is a chemical in there that is directly goes to whatever the brain of your stomach area is, your gut, and tells it to slow down. Now,
ooh.
I'm assuming
what,
it's an ingredient
it
has to have. Well, the one that, the good one is called Movantik. M-O-V-A-N-T-I-K.
Okay.
And it is just to counteract the opiate slowdown. And I know, I mean, I cleaned out, and it was quite the process, and very hard to do. It took me about 4 days. I lost 15 pounds.
Wow.
I now run around. I used to be, because of my J-tube, I wear clothes a little big just so it doesn't, you know, reform to it. But I was always kind of chunky. And after I did that, and that was last March, I have been obsessed almost with my, you know, if I don't go one day, the next day I'm all over it because I, you know, because you won't go every day, obviously, because your food doesn't get down there all the time because of the slowdown on the stomach. But I used to have episodes, flares, whatever you want to call them, with my gastroparesis, where the nausea, vomiting, everything, it would happen for like 3 or 4 days. I'd be down in bed, you know, it was ridiculous. And it happened almost every month, at least. I'd have like 4 days of that. I'm not free of the nausea and vomiting or those attacks, but they have been so much better. And now when I feel okay, I feel better than I used to feel when I was, quote, quote, okay. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, beforehand, I was, you know, when I had good times and I wasn't feeling sick, you know, life was good. But now when I feel that way, not sick, and I can enjoy it better. And it really has changed my gastroparesis. My stomach works much better than it did because of the constipation.
Okay.
Again, other symptoms I work with is, you know, the nausea and vomiting. Again, I have a stimulator, and I take medicine through my tube on a regular basis, low dose, just so it's in there. And that helps to keep it at bay. The bloating, I can't do anything about. That one, you know, there's no cure, no known. I don't have a clue how to stop that. The feeling really full still happens, but not as much. After I did this last year, things, you know, my stomach does move now a little bit, and I can tell, I can feel it, if it's going to move or if it's just sitting there. You know, it'll bloat right up if it's just sitting. And it's just, you know, it's been a lot of pay attention to my own body. What happens when I do this? And, you know, everybody's a little different, so you have to really pay attention to yourself. The doctors can't know anything if we don't tell them. So the more you learn about yourself and what's happening, and you can go in and say, okay, you know, I've had this ache right here. You know, it could be my intestine or my liver. I mean, I don't know, you know, wherever you're aching. But know where you're going, what you're, you know, kind of what you're talking about. And it's a huge help, and it's so good for yourself, because when you start to feel something, if you know what it is, kind of, then you can maybe stop it, as opposed to it being, you know, just like nausea. It's an overall everything feeling, and you can't get rid of it. You know, if you're concentrating on one part of you or one piece, then it becomes easier to deal with. Okay, I have the nausea. Let me get, you know, whatever it is, this medication. Let me meditate. Let me do whatever you're going to do. But instead of it being an overall blown, oh, I can't, yeah, I got to fix all of this, it's just that one. So much easier to deal with these symptom by symptom than it is to keep it overall because it's overwhelming.
It is overwhelming. Yeah. Quality of life is gone.
Well, that's what I strived for. That was my problem. I said, you know what? I don't have any quality of life. You know, I have life, but it's really, I'm not having a good time at all.
Right.
And part of being chronically ill for a long time, we learn a lot of things about life, you know, and different things that we didn't know before. And empathy and patience, I have always been told I'm the least, most impatient person in the world. I want it, and I want it right now. Mm-hmm. But I have learned to sit on my hands now and wait, you know, or, and again, when you were saying it's overwhelming, it is because, you know, we have our basic set of, say, what, 6 or 7 symptoms that they, you know, that's listed for gastroparesis, but that's not the other 12 that you might get or the other 5 that I get, and they aren't the same. You know, it affects all of us differently in different parts of our body, and it's just, you know, paying attention to what's happening to yourself. It can be so helpful. It really can. My quality of life now, when I feel good, is excellent. I live, you know, when I'm okay, I live as strong as I can, you know, do what I can, be what I can, and enjoy life then. When I get really sick, it's awful. I'm depressed. I hate it, just like everybody. But I can keep in the back of my mind, you know, and just like everybody here can, I have been through this, you know, however long, hundreds of times. I am going to get through this. You know, it's killing me right now, but in, you know, a couple of days, I'll be okay. Mm-hmm. And that's always like my, it's in the back of my mind. So when I do go down and get sick and depressed and everything, I still have that hope of getting out. And, you know, the hope
is so rare. It's so rare to get a good day. If I get a good day, I go like a freaking mad woman. I enjoy
well, and then
the
you crash
hell
for two.
Out of it.
Right. I do that, and then, like, the next day you're paying for it. Almost,
but I'm
going to
pay for it anyway.
Right. I was like that a lot. When I first got this disease, I was sick every day. Whether it was nausea, vomiting, no energy, couldn't do anything. And over the years, you know, again, I need a quality of life. I need a life of some sort.
Yeah.
And it's a completely different life, you know, than it used to be. I mean, there's no doubt there. But I've accepted my disease. I've accepted my life. And, it's working for me. Everybody's different. Everybody's got to do it differently. I hope for everybody.
I talked to my doctor about the stimulating machine. He's not fond of it. He hasn't seen very good results. Does anybody else have it? I mean, what are your opinions on the nerve stimulating machine? I have so many neuropathies. I would think it might help me.
Oh, okay. Are you a diabetic?
No.
No, okay. Well, just as a quick thing on the stimulator, you happen to hit the right person. I got the stimulator 14 years ago in the FDA study by the doctor that made it, created it. And unfortunately, back then, didn't work. Really, didn't, that I noticed, really didn't do anything. They put in a J-tube at the time because I was only 74 pounds, and that saved my life as far as being able to get nutrition in me and get some weight back and then be able to move on with my life. In 2012, they replaced the stimulator. And you're exactly right. The stimulator was made for diabetics originally because we were the ones that presented with this disease at the beginning more than anyone. And it was made because our gastroparesis is neuropathy. Same basis. You know, it's the same misfiring nerves that make your hands or your feet sting and burn, they're doing the same thing to your stomach. So it was developed for that. So if you have neuropathy, you have a good chance, a better chance than somebody that might not. But they do idiopathic people to that too, and it helps. In 2012, I got a new one because my battery died, finally. And this new one has been unbelievably awesome. The only problem with the first one is it didn't have enough power. This, the ones they have now, they can, you can have it adjusted like 50 times to different settings and find one that might work for you. And when it does work, it's not a cure, does not take away all your nausea and vomiting, but it is, you know, when it can take away about 80, 90% of it, that's huge.
Okay.
You know, and it is created, all it does really, the whole stimulator is send shocks to the smooth muscle in the bottom of your stomach that has in that muscle somewhere are all the nerves that go to your brain and say, hey, make us nauseous. You know, we need to get rid of this food, whatever, make us nauseous. The stimulator sends shocks to those nerves to interrupt that signal and in hopes that it doesn't make it to your brain to tell you to be nauseous. And it really does work. I mean, I have a doctor that's been doing it for years, my surgeon. He's placed 110, I think, and he's got a 98 people that absolutely love it.
Okay.
You know, it's a, so you might want to, I mean, it's very, they're hard to get. You know, there's only usually one surgeon in a state that does it,
uh-huh.
But you want to make sure they are certified through Medtronic, who is the company that makes them.
Medtronic.
Yep. And if you want, you can look online or call them directly and ask about it, and they'll give you, you know, all kinds of the technical information anyway, if you're interested, you know, in that part of it.
Okay.
But by all means, if you do pursue this at all, but, you know, please get a hold of us, and I can, you know, I can at least tell you what to expect. And they do have, there is a doctor, the other doctor that helped develop it is in Kentucky. And he has a program now where they developed a way of doing, they call it the temporary stimulator. And instead of it being implanted in you, like, you know, inside you, like the permanent one is, this one, they put a NG tube, like, down your, you know, nose into your stomach, and they put leads in, you know, and I don't know exactly how they do it, but they use the, you know, they use the temp and if, for a week. If you get any relief, then, you know, they go for the permanent. But it's
okay.
A nice way to find out if it works, because if it doesn't, you know, you have a whole big surgery, the things inside your body, you know, it's another surgery to get rid of it and blah, blah, blah. You know, it is a good thing for people, but, you know, of course you have to get to Kentucky to do it. And I don't believe they're doing that anywhere else in the country, the temps.
And the guy's name is Robert or Thomas Abel. The reason why I know that, Laura, is because they were possibly in with me, but because of all the other conditions I have, they weren't sure that it would work.
That's true. And thank you for that. Yes, Thomas Abel is the doctor. He is one of the two. Dr. McCallum is the other one. They developed the stimulator for gastroparesis. Dr. Abel is an awesome doctor. He knows more, you know, he's one of the top in the country. You know, so he is definitely that's a place to at least talk to his office about the stimulator, because they know, you know, they place a lot of them. There's probably, they said, I think I interviewed Medtronic last year for our patient conference through AGMD, and I think they had said they're up to about 65,000 that have been placed, which is huge. You know, I think about it, I was the 105th person ever to get one, and I'm like, 65,000, wow. But I do know it's helped. I mean, it really does have a pretty good success rate. And unfortunately, a lot of our doctors, if they are not, what they call them now, neurogastroenterologists or a motility specialist, they're only going to know pretty much hearsay about that stimulator. You know, and if that doctor that does it in the country isn't in their hospital, you know, they're only kind of hearing rumors, so they don't get the full picture, you know, of how many it really does work for. But if nausea and vomiting is your big symptom, it is the best relief. And they're also doing now, some of them now are doing with the stimulators what they call a pyloroplasty. Can't even say it. And that is basically at the bottom of your stomach, there's the, I think it's called the pyloric valve, but it's a little flap that allows, opens and allows your food to come out of your stomach into your intestine. A pyloplasty, they basically, it stays open. They, you know, they kind of fuse it open. And that's a, and then they say, you know, either it's just gravity that's actually pulling it through. So even though your stomach might not be working, gravity will pull the liquids and everything through that. They're doing those in conjunction and having very good success rate, I hear. I mean, they haven't done a ton of them with it yet, but so far they're having a pretty good success rate. That's just a, and that can be done without a stimulator, too. And it's really an extension of the Botox. I know people have probably heard of Botox injections, which they go to the same place, and they just, the Botox basically, they paralyze it open. I'm sorry, I dropped you. They paralyze it open, which is kind of the same thing as a pyloplasty, but the Botox wears off, you know, and it's not permanent. That's just another treatment, too, that people could think about talking to their doctors about, because, as you all know, we don't have that many gastroparesis treatments that are very good. Does anybody else have any questions about the stimulator or anything else they'd like to talk about?
This is Mary Angela. I just wanted to say, add, as Laura was saying, that there weren't a lot of treatments available. However, there are a lot of new treatments that are in development and are in clinical trials, and they show very promising results. So I just wanted to add that, Laura. I'm done.
Yeah. Oh, and that's just, you know, that is part of my, when I do my, you know, hope speech. We live with a miserable disease. I try to live with the way I live it is that I live with the fact that there's no cure and I'm going to have it forever. But I absolutely know that probably within 10 years I will be living a much better life, maybe sooner, because as Mary Angela said, they're in clinical trials now. They have medicine that they, you know, you take it and it makes your stomach work or go better, so you can digest your food. You know, so there's always hope for us. They're working on it, you know, and I know being a diabetic, when I was 10 years old, I got diagnosed. We took insulin that was drawn directly from cows and pigs. Well, that insulin's made to help a cow, you know, digest hay and grass, not food. So it was very bad. We decided, you know, we didn't have very good care, no matter how good you tried. And then about 10 years after that, they came out with, synthetic insulin. And that saved everybody's life. Diabetics are living so much longer now. The fact that gastroparesis has come out, you know, it's something that diabetics originally never lived long enough to get. You know, we have all kinds of new side effects because we're all living longer now. And that's because of the synthetic insulin. And again, with the gastroparesis, there's a lot of us out there. You know, it is Rare Disease Day. And we still consider ours kind of a rare disease because you get diagnosed and everybody goes, what? Including you. You go, what do I have? I've never heard of that. Unfortunately, you know, rare disease, I think it's 200,000 or less diagnosed. And we're in 2012, we were at 5 million. And I've seen some articles that say we're up to 20 million. I don't know if that's true. But it could be. A lot of people are getting diagnosed with this for many reasons. And there are very many reasons. If you have idiopathic, it's very tough to not know why. You know, that's a huge problem for people. Why do I have it? What happened? And that's a, you know, people can't figure that out sometimes. Doctors, nobody. And there seems to be no reason for you to have it. But, you know, there is. And they are... Big Farm, even though, you know, they run this country and stuff, they do save our lives eventually, because they do try to come out with a drug that'll help.
Miss Laura?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. I was just going to say, I think one of the kind of frustrating things for people in the beginning that I see is that they come into the groups especially, and they want an answer. You know, what pill do I take to solve this? I want this gone. And you can't give them a definite answer because, just as you said, people react so differently to the medications, and what helps one person doesn't help another. Same thing with the foods. You know, what you can tolerate doesn't mean the next person can tolerate it. So it's not quite as simple as just, I take this pill and my symptoms go away, or I'm good now. And it's so much trial and error, and I know that can get frustrating, but when you do find something that helps you, you know, just try to take it, like you said, one symptom at a time, and when you find something that helps you, take advantage of those good times, because unfortunately there isn't just a pill that all of us can swallow and suddenly be better.
You're absolutely correct, Melissa. That is, and that is a huge, just on a side note, kind of, but, and I don't know how else to say it, but it's kind of a huge mental problem for us, especially with the idiopathic. You want to know why, and that can really consume you. And then again, you want to go to the doctor and him go, here you go, this will stop the nausea, here you go, this will, and they don't. You know, it is trial and error. Patience is a virtue in this disease. Because usually, you know, there's 50 nausea meds, so you got to find the one that works for you. Yeah. You know, they have pain meds, they have you know, all kinds of different kind of medication, and there's all kinds of them. And they all work a little different than the other one, so it's trial and error. But when you, like Melissa said, when you do find it, boy, I'm jumping for joy. And it goes nowhere. You know, I'm like, no, I'm taking this one. Just like Reglan. Reglan, they prescribed almost everybody. Has a black box warning on it because it can cause tachycardia, which most people even get a little bit, even if they don't keep it, you know, where your arms are just twitching or flinging. I got really bad side effects from it, so I take domperidone, which is not available in this country. A lot of people can't take that. It, you know, it doesn't have, I have no side effects at all from it. So, you know, those are the only two current motility drugs that are supposed to help your stomach move. I do know there are three or four that are in clinical trial right now for that. So, you know, we won't be stuck with the only one available in the United States is Reglan. They're trying to make some safer ones that work better. And I believe they will because, you know, the advances in medical now with computers is amazing. You know, back 25, 30 years ago, they wanted a cure. There were three doctors thinking about it. Now they can plug it into three computers, and it's like having a million doctors thinking about it. So they, you know, they're able to get things together and find cures a little faster than they used to be able to. So everybody hold out the hope because we, you know, there will, in the next couple of years, there's going to be a lot of procedures, drugs, things coming out for this disease. It will become better known than we think it is now, only because so many people have it, and once the drugs come out, I mean, can you imagine if we actually had a drug commercial and it said gastroparesis? You know how many people would believe us then? I know my father could never, he still can't get a grip on it because there's no commercial for it. You know, there's no blood pressure medicine on TV for it or whatever. He doesn't hear about it, so it doesn't exist. And that's just, you know, we will have them. I mean, I know Ted Cruz, bless his soul, talked about it when he was debating, I think, Bernie Sanders on health care because he had somebody in his state with it, which is huge exposure for us, really. And on his stage, it was all the political people that make a lot of our decisions, so it was really a good plug. But it all is coming down the line. It's just taking a little patience. You know, even with back to the supplements, those are all being changed. Like Brittany had said, you know, there's websites, they are changing them and making them accountable for what's in them and things. Because if they don't know what's in it, they can't tell you if that's the reaction. You know what I mean? The doctors can't pinpoint it. if they don't know what they're dealing with that's in the pill. So that's all getting, you know, revamped slowly, too. It's all very slow. But, you know, within a couple of years, we're going to have more options. We're going to have a lot more things that we can do to better our lives and get a quality of life, because we need that. You know that you're going to have times you're not going to have it, but you need to have quality to make up for those when you are feeling okay. And that can be anything from, you know, going out and doing something to reading a good book, just something that you enjoy. Does anybody else have any questions of any kind or something they'd like to say about gastroparesis?
No, thanks.
I do, Laura. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I don't know who else was talking at the same time.
Go ahead.
This is Brittany. And just kind of going off about what you said about how, you know, we as people want to know why we got it, why, you know, why is this happening to me? And that's natural, and it's completely, you know, normal. But I almost look at it as this is something that is part of me, just like the color of my hair, just like the color of my eyes, just like how tall I am or whatever else. And I don't question why I have the color eyes that I have. It's just part of me. And I feel like when I finally kind of started to accept that this is just another part of me, that I wouldn't question, you know, something else, I felt like that was a little bit of a step towards handling it better. And sure, there's things like, you know, you want a different hair color, there's hair dyes, there's things to change it. Just like with this disease, there's things that you can do to change, you know, the symptoms, and you just got to find what works and what doesn't and kind of take it that way instead of trying to swallow it all like a huge monster horse pill, because if you do that, you're just going to choke yourself. I mean, that's the best analogy that I can think of.
Very nice one, too. Very good.
Thanks.
And then, Brittany, I have to agree with you. Once you let go of the, I mean, I had it, too. Mine was, what did I do to deserve this, you know, when I first got it? Constantly, I'm like, what did I do to deserve this?
Yeah.
And I didn't do anything. You know, and when I came to the realization that, right, this is going to be a part of me, and it's either be, you know, be upset about it and recluse and, you know, don't deal, or deal with it and make it part of your life. You know, I mean, I have family and relatives that don't even know I have a disease, because when I'm there, you know, it's part of me, so it's just a part. You know, it's not something like, but you said, I don't talk about my hair color, I don't talk about my eyes, and, you know, it's not something that becomes a problem for my family, only because a lot of them don't even know. And the ones that do know that it's, again, it's a part of me, and I'm not going to, you know, have issues with them. And if I do have, you know, if I have to go vomit or something, so I'm very private, I just disappear. But I agree, getting rid of that, why do I have it, what did I do, why do I deserve this, you know, et cetera. Getting acceptance is, you know, and letting that go. And the relief is huge. I mean, I think the way you said it, you got some too. You know, you take that burden off your shoulders. And then you realize it's a huge burden of, you know, you constantly, why did I get it? How did I get it? Who did it? You know, whatever the case may be. Getting through that, it's a huge obstacle. But once you can get past it, and that may be accepting, that may be finding out the answer of how you got it. You know, I knew mine was diabetic related, so mine was, what did I do to deserve this?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and that's, it's just how but getting rid of those big hurdles of, you know, they're very, you anguish, or, you know, it's very stressful, very, and it's on your mind all the time. And, you know, quality of life depends on freeing your mind, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big step. Thank you for saying that, because that really is, and it makes a lot of difference. Has anybody else been able to wrestle with that and find any tricks, help? On any, it can be anything. It doesn't have to be on why do you have it. You know, it could be the bloating. You know, I mean, it could be anything. But anybody?
Yeah, not yet.
Yeah?
I hear you back there, Melissa.
I absolutely wrestled with that at first, and I came to the conclusion that I may never know why I have it. And I had to come to the point where I said, you know, there are all these bad things about gastroparesis, but what has it given me? And I mean that. And I would do away with it in a second. Don't get me wrong. I hate it. I don't want it. But it has given me some very, very valuable things. Besides the friendships that I've made, the purpose in my life, you know, just helping other people and not just being able to help them, but being able to recognize that there are people out there everywhere suffering and struggling with things, and I walk past them every day and I don't know it. And it has given me such insight into that, into what these people struggle with, whether it's gastroparesis or a disease or you know, emotional problems, anything. Just the recognition that there are other human beings who need help has been invaluable to me. It's made me a better person. There's no doubt about that in my mind.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and it's what we learn from, I mean, I can't tell you. I was a business executive when I got sick. My whole life, you know, I managed people, I helped run companies, and it was a big deal for me. And then I suddenly had no purpose. But, you know, over the years, patience, empathy, like just like you said, yes. Acceptance of, you know, my line is we're all born the same way, so how can anybody be better than anyone else? You know, we all have our issues. Even saying people, when they go to the doctor, remember, they're a human being. You know, they might be in a bad mood today. Well, they could have lost their son or something and been, you know, or, you know, the wife has a big illness or something. So they have stuff going on too. But it's accepting everybody. And there's something we learn. I mean, I think it's a lot of people that have any chronic illness that is, you know, persistent. You learn these things. And again, I had to find a new purpose in life also. You know, you go from working 70, 80 hours a week to sitting on the couch going, oh, what am I doing? And I found that through the AGMD many years ago. And I spend a lot of my life trying to help and educate other people. If I can, you know, help one person not cry today or one person put a big smile on their face for something, then I feel like I've accomplished something big. And that's how I really, really, you know, like to function now. It's a totally different life. And not to say, again, I wouldn't get rid of this in a second. However, I almost feel that I'm a better person and I have a better life, quality of life, than I did before I got sick. And we're getting really close to the end. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to say? Question, comment?
Lori. It's Lori. I just want to say thank you, everybody. It was so nice to hear from you all.
Oh, well, thank you for coming on and speaking. We do this every month. You're welcome to join.
I will be.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Again, anybody? No? Well, I want to thank everybody for coming. It's a nice thing to have so many people interested, and we're going to start all of these meetings. You know, I will have some subject to start with, but please, you want to come to the call with, you know, you have written down subjects, things you want to talk about, please do so, because we're really here for you and to help answer your questions or your concerns. I just throw a topic out there because it's something to talk about. If nobody's commenting, I got to talk, so I try to keep it going straight in one subject, you know. But I'd like to thank everybody for coming. Please join us again. Please check our website for next month. We have quite a few calls that you can get on that gastroparesis would be a part of. You know, young adults, parents, just living with a motility disorder, all these calls. Gastroparesis is always a part of one. It's all for motility disorders. So on that note, I'd like to say thank you, and I'd like to give Mary Angela a moment to close this out.
Thank you, Laura. Excellent job, as always. And thank all of you for, if you spoke, sharing a piece of your life and your concerns. For those who didn't speak or were just kind of listening in, that you did get some benefit out of this and you will join us next time. As I close these programs, always, you people are living these lives of yours in the quietness of your home. And even though people try to understand, it's very difficult for them because they're not going through it. All of us here do understand because it's part of our lives. And you people, all of you, are really this organization. You're the heartbeat of it. You are what organization is going. And when I hear these stories and I hear the anguish and the suffering that goes through, it makes me all the more passionate about getting more help for all of you and getting the research done and modalities and treatments so that eventually, you mentioned the word gastroparesis, not only be a familiar word, but it will also be one that comes with adequate treatment and cure. God bless you all. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.